C5P report. Presbyterian Peru PowerPoint presentation. And we'll start out with a little geography. A lot of us are not real familiar with South America geography. I'm trying to get out of everybody's way. But anyway, Peru is up there in the upper northwest part of the continent. And when we go into Peru, we always fly into Lima. I'm not aware of any airlines that fly into any other cities into Peru. And from there, we'll fly up there to Trujillo, which is about 325 miles up the coast. Both Lima and Trujillo are coastal desert cities. And last year and the last few days this year, we went also up to Cajamarca. We did all our work in Cajamarca last year. We did most of our work in Trujillo this year. There's the airport in Lima. Pardon?
Yes, it was a short video.
All right. I don't think we need to worry about it.
It played. Well,
it played.
It played. But we didn't get any audio, which is not a problem here, but will be whenever we get to the church services. Oh, we can figure that out while you continue.
There's the little airport in Trujillo as we arrived. There is the church at Arevalo, where we did most of our work. About 04, 05, 2004, 2005, that was just a big empty lot with sand and rocks and trash. And we started digging the big holes in the ground for the footings for that building, which is now the sanctuary, but it's not the permanent sanctuary. It's going to be the fellowship hall when a permanent sanctuary is built to the left of it. Because people were throwing trash in there, they put a brick wall all the way around that part, and part of our people, more so the ones from Second Presbyterian Church that we always work with down there in Greenville, South Carolina, were involved in extending the height of that wall and then putting broken glass into the wet mortar on the top of it to discourage vandalism or crawling into the property. To the right, you can see just a little bit of the steel fence that goes into the courtyard that you will see more of later. I had the privilege of working on all the first and second floor windows years ago and installing the glass in them and also in the interior doors. The first floor is a vestibule. The second floor are classrooms. The third floor is an apartment that has a large kitchen dining area. Ooh, let's go back. What did I just do? Got audio. Okay. I had the privilege of working on installing the glass on those first level of windows. And it's kind of interesting that they have such tall windows that span both the first and second floor. You can see the floor in between, if you look closely, about the middle of the tall windows. Stephen and I did it again. I'm hitting the wrong button. Okay, thank you. Here's what I'm trying to do. All right, back up. All right, now it's important that I do that. All right, there's a bedroom windows that of the bedroom that Stephen and I occupied while we were there, and because we stayed there rather than the downtown hotel where all our friends from Second Presbyterian stayed, it was a lot cheaper. We didn't have to pay the hotel bill. So that saved some worthwhile funds. Also notice there was a little bit of a flower garden down there on the lower right side, and there's another one on the left behind that vehicle. But anyway, we'll talk more about that later. Here's the right side of that building, and the sanctuary is there to the right, and has a double door coming out into the courtyard, which is all walled in now. None of that was done 2 years ago when I was there. Last year I spent only time in Cajamarca, and so they did a lot of things since I was there 2 years ago. All right, just to the right of the front of the Revel Oak Church is the courtyard, and they put a wall around it. On the left side there, you can see the gates, and they were having it was just unpainted brick, and they were having trouble with people putting graffiti on there, and so they learned that my son Stephen is an artist, and there are several murals in town. So they, Stephen, tell me how that came about.
I don't have a mic because I talk loud, kind of like my father. So we had an idea. They wanted us to paint a mural, and so they approached me on this, and they said, "Hey, you know it would be great to cover up all this graffiti? Paint a mural across this." You may not get a sense of the scale by looking at it, but this is roughly about 100 feet long, about 10 feet high. So you're talking about 1,000 square feet. This was on the second of our 5 days. So I'm like, yeah, we could crank out a 1,000 square foot mural in 3 days. But not really. You'll see some slides of us starting it, but what we were able to do is I was able to spend some time with the Lord and get a sense of, you know, some ideas of what to work with. And I got to talking with the pastor there and talking about what they wanted. And it works out well because they do three things at this site. They have the church, the school, and the clinic. And coincidentally enough, the wall's broken up into three sections. So I designed a mural that would incorporate each of those sections into the three different parts of service that they do there. And so you'll see a little bit of that. What we end up getting to do was I came up with a complete draft of the image, and I was able to at least outline the major components of it so that we connected with some local artists there who are going to be able to continue to finish it. So I'm looking forward to seeing some pictures on Facebook of the completed wall and the completed mural. But you'll see some sketches of that here in a little bit.
We would start out every morning with a time of prayer and devotions. And that is Dale Ellison. He's an elder in the Revel Oak Church, but his main activity, he's the director of all the medical activities going on down there in the two clinics. So there he is, just reading some scripture to us. I was involved with Pastor Robert Spears, who I've worked with every time I've been down there. He's an associate pastor at Second Pres in Greenville, South Carolina. And we've done a lot of different construction stuff together. But there we are installing what this looks like drywall, but actually it's 4 millimeter thin concrete board. And it was very difficult because we had to countersink the concrete because it's not soft like drywall. And if we don't countersink deep enough, it would the screw head would bottom out before it was completely flush with the surface, and then it would ream out the threads going into the steel studs. First time I ever saw concrete board or steel studs in Peru, but they are improving in their the availability of the different materials that we're more familiar with here. In years past, we had to make do with a lot less and to try to still accomplish our goals, and we were able to. Greg and I worked on a bunch of things together where it was a lot slower and more tedious to do it with what we had available in Peru. With concrete board, because you don't cut it with a saw, I had an angle grinder with a special blade. You see where we had a chalk mark, and I'm just backing up because I found out it worked better going backwards than forwards. And to cut it to size. They had the sand and rock was too high there in the courtyard area, and so it was mentioned by the guy that's sewing the shovel for right now. His name is Joseph Merrillet, and that's his son Noah on the right. They're first timers to the Peru mission. We said, doesn't somebody just have, can't they get a bobcat and just do this the easy way? But there was no bobcat. It was all manual labor, which is the way they do almost everything down there. Even the young ladies from Second Prez, they got in there and did the manual work just like the guys did. We had a shortage of ladders, so we had to kind of share them, and whoever needed the worst, the ones that got to use it, and if we finished with the need for it, then we let somebody else have it. And there's Stephen
hijacking
the ladder. And they're using the ladder. Tell me a little bit more about what's going on, Stephen.
In order to have a good painting surface, you just got to primer it. So we went back through and primered over the top of it. And something that was really nice is that you just get a small little glimpse of them down the bottom. We have Laura there from the Second Prez team. And then next to her is Luis. Luis is a artist down there. He's in his senior year getting a degree in graphic design. It was really, seemed to be a great Lord thing, because I stayed behind one day while the rest of the group went to another church, and I just took a seat outside of that big wall, and I was like, all right, God, what do you want to do with this? Just kind of prayed and had some worship music going, and just started sketching. In the process of doing that, they also had a service going on there at Arevalo, which is the name of the church that we're working at. And just as I finished, the church finished. And I went in there to start talking to the pastor, and he was talking to this young man. And I was telling him about the design, and I'm super excited and, you know, jazzed that it all came together so quickly, because I put it all together in about an hour and a half. And he's translating over to Luis and telling him about it, and he's getting really excited about it. And then I say to the pastor, now, this is going to probably take a month or two, easily, to finish. I'm here for 3 days. What we really need is we need to find a local artist who can finish this. And he's like, well, Luis here is about to graduate a degree in graphic design. Luis, is this something that you would want to be involved in? He's like, yeah, this sounds great. And so it doesn't get any easier than that. Whenever God gets involved, it just starts putting the dominoes in place.
There on the outside of the wall, as Stephen is sketching out the outlines of the images he's going to have in the mural. You see that truck, everything done manually. They use the pickaxes to bust up and loosen up the rocks in the sand, because if you just use a shovel, all the rocks prohibit good, efficient use of it. And then we shovel into the wheelbarrows and come out either through this gate to the left or the other gate on the other end of the courtyard, and dump it along between the sidewalk and the street. And then Peruvians come with a truck and two guys with shovels and shovel what was hauled out there in wheelbarrows by hand into the truck. I mean, that kind of labor is very inefficient, and something that we kind of take for granted the easy way we have things up here. Stephen, tell me a little bit more about what's going on there.
Okay. Well, here we have William, who's a part of the Second Press team. He was out there helping me at the time. We have the beginning of the sketch here. You can see just a little bit of a desk poking out there on the right side. I was able to actually go up to the classrooms on the second floor of the church, where we have some classrooms, and grab a desk, bring it down there. And the pastor got one of the neighborhood kids to sit in as a model for me. So I had him sitting down there not too long before that, and I just sketched him out onto the wall. But this is the beginning part. This is the middle section. Just to give you a quick depiction of what it's going to look like, the first section next to the church is depicting the church. And so we have the arm of God coming down and reaching down, and he's pulling up a woman who is down. And in the background, you have the mountains cascading down, which is Christ, the rock, coming down to us. And where the hands, where God's hands met the woman's hands, is right where the mountain reaches the city, which happens there at Trujillo. And so that was Christ reaching down to the people of the city. And then that woman in the second panel then becomes a teacher. Now she's lifted up, now she's teaching. And so she's teaching this young man here at the desk, teaching him how to read. And then in a last section to represent the clinic, we'll then have that boy receiving care from a doctor. And something to the effect of, in the first section, the name of the church is Christ the Restorer. We know it as a Revelo because that's the
location.
The location of it. But they call it Christ the Restorer, and so that was what it would say on that first section. And then we'd have growing, something to a scripture reference to growing knowledge in the middle, and then healing and wholeness in the last section over the clinic.
Okay, it's your turn again, Stephen. What are you guys doing there?
Before one of the days that we had the vacation Bible school, we had finished working and we had our lunch, we got cleaned up a little bit, and we had a little bit of time, and it was the first day that we were having our vacation Bible school, and we thought, what would be a good way to try to welcome people and to get people from the town to come in and join us and feel welcomed and draw on the children? And so a group of us went out front, and we just started kicking around the ball.
And you notice that ball got away, and where did it go? It went to the flower garden. Now, I was up in the, looking out that window from which I took these pictures, several videos, and I saw the ball go in the flower garden, so I just sat and wait until I figured it would probably happen again. And in just a minute or two, it did. And I yelled out that window. I said, "Hey, you kids, stay out of my flowers." And first they were rather shocked, but then everybody got a good laugh out of it.
The real funny thing is that Noah, one of the guys from Second Press, the one who ran after to go get a ball, and he was picking up the ball. And that was the mild version of him yelling. He really put on the act. And I know it was, and to which we were all laughing at that. And Noah was laughing too once he had realized the joker that was upstairs was giving us a hard time.
Okay, while everybody else were preparing for VBS, Wichensal Complex is just about a mile away. So Stephen and I engaged a moto taxi, which is like a cross between a motorcycle and a rickshaw, to take us over there. And there's the entrance to the Wichensal area, and with the sanctuary right there, the doors open for us. And to the right of that, it had a little courtyard behind, which used to be the original sanctuary, converted to clinic, reconverted to classrooms, and then with a second floor built on top. So they have a pretty substantial school going on there. So, and then the new clinic is across the street. There's Stephen in the sanctuary, and there's the cross that Greg Winslow and I put up the first year where he was there in 2001, as they were just finishing up that sanctuary. There's some of the native flowers they have there in the courtyard, spilling over onto the pastor's study, which is adjacent to the sanctuary. They were just locking up the clinic across the street because it is getting later on in the afternoon, and that young lady there in the hallway did recognize me from my former engagements down there, and so she was gracious to unlock the doors, turn off the alarm, and give us a quick tour so I can show Stephen what we've been doing and see also what the latest is. One year, they about a day or two before we had to leave, they got all the interior doors and with a lot of help, we were able to get all the interior doors installed on the first floor 1 year. The next year, they had a second floor built on top of it, and they had the doors ready for me, and so we got all the interior doors installed the second year on the second floor. But anyway, so a lot of my activity down there is the same thing I do up here. I work on windows and doors. There, in that clinic, they have a little dental clinic, basically equipped. It's a very narrow building on a very narrow lot, so they squeeze a lot in. There's an examining room where you got two beds. They have a small basic laboratory. All right, on the outside, the part is on the right, so we're looking from right to left. That's the part that you see first when you're coming from the street to the whole Wichensal complex. And of course, it starts out with the birth of Christ, his baptism, his ministry. You see the friends of the paralytic lowering him down through a hole in the roof. And of course, they're carrying the cross or crucifixion in the empty tomb, the ascension, and then God. Here, Stephen, why don't you tell me what your interpretation of that last one?
I don't know how well you can see this, but in this last section down here, you have people of all different areas of the world. And so when I look at this as an artist, I see all the people of the world united in one church.
And one body.
All united under God.
In the, all so, the body of Christ.
The Holy Church, yeah.
Wrong one. Now you can see just a little bit of the front of the clinic there on the right. Right next to it is an organization associated with and founded by the Peru Mission called Synergia, in which they make short-term small loans to women that have families and have the ability to start a small home business, but only need a small amount of working capital, maybe buy an oven and start selling baked goods. And something as little as $50 to $100 startup is enough to get them going. And then sometimes they'll pay that off and they want to expand and they'll borrow some more money and hire other people. So Peru Mission reaches out to the people in many, many ways. That's why I'm so very, very blessed to be able to participate with them to see how they reach out and are effective, not just having the church, but with the clinics, with Synergia, with the schools, and we also have a wood shop. That's next, I think. They started a wood shop years ago over at the Larco Church downtown, in which they built a lot of the structure for the roof of the church, a lot of the furniture and stuff like that, probably the pews. But anyway, there's Aline McLean on the right. She's the coordinator of all the short-term mission activities. And as her husband, Hermes, she went down there and ended up marrying a Peruvian. And he is a musician, but he also is very active in working in a wood shop. And the man in the middle in the kind of pink-colored shirt is a Peruvian out of the jungle. And Stephen, remind me of what about the wood that's available down there that we don't have here.
One of the unique woods they have there, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a very dark wood, almost jet black. And you'll get some striations of this really rich, dark brown. They use it a lot down there for flooring. And here in this wood shop, they used it in quite a bit of their pieces there. It's a unique thing. It's very hard, very beautiful. Doesn't require any staining, it has a cross that's made of it, and you can. It's not a very close-up picture, but you can tell. Basically, it looks straight black. It's a unique wood.
So anyway, so the wood shop makes furniture, other wood products, and has them for sale there for locals. And a lot of times, a lot of people. They go down on mission trips, find things unique, and they purchase them there and have them shipped back to the States. And Stephen, it's getting close to time for you.
I can stick around a little longer.
Okay. There's just one not a very good shot of some of the VBS activity going on. There is one set of the double doors go from the foyer into the sanctuary. Which Greg and a bunch of other people helped me, and we cut and installed all that glass many years ago. There's a young lady, Laura Compton, from Greenville, and a Peruvian extending the height of the wall, and other people were involved in putting breaking the glass and installing the broken glass in the top of the wall to deter a burglary.
This may not be completely clear. They're standing on scaffolding there. It's not a very short wall.
All right, to the right and to the rear. Actually, this is on the street next to it. To the street that the front of the church is on. This is the front of the clinic that is on the back of the courtyard. And as you look through the clinic, you can look through the back door into the courtyard. You'll see another shot of that in a minute. But
no. Kind of looks like it, though.
That's a pretty good eye you got there, but anyway, quite a few years ago, a former member of Colleyville Presbyterian made a very sizable donation to build a hospital. And they got a good start, but with construction material and labor costs going up because the economy in Peru has improved so much with the gold and silver and copper mining that's been going on down there, with many, many Americans and other European nationals involved in that lucrative deal. But anyway, the cost went up, and so it's sat with only exterior walls in the floor for several years, and now they got it, the first floor finished up about a year or so ago. So I was very, very gratified to see that happen, and now the second floor outside wall is up, and if you look closely, you can see the openings. Well, it didn't mean to do that. Come on. Right above the windows, you can see different color brick openings. They just have temporarily bricked in, and that's the way the first floor was for several years. And so the plans are for a three-story hospital. They have a small basic pharmacy there to the right as you go in the door. There's the admitting counter, and there is getting toward the end of their work day, and there are several young ladies that have different work there in different capacities. And while I was there, there was a guy came in that was really hurting, and so they administered to him. And the first place they took him was there. It says topico, which means topical, I believe, external applications of medicine. That was the nurse's room where she interviewed, took the basics and all that. And then they took him back to the doctor back there in the next room. And then I think that's OBGYN. Room, then the women's bathroom, the men's bathroom. I don't remember. But one's pediatrics, the other one, whatever it is. They have an open area. They probably go up clear to the roof eventually, and they just have a temporary roofing over that now. But there's a back door that looks out into the courtyard area, and you can see the classrooms that I was involved in building. There's another shot of it. The one on the left is pretty well ready for painting, and on the right we were still installing a lot of that wall. That just shows more of the activity going on there in the courtyard area. There's Phoebe from Jackson, Mississippi. She and her husband have been involved in Peru mission for quite a while. It's the first time I've met her, however. But she had a couple suits of what looked like scrubs to me, and she did some serious customizing of them, being able to get right in there and not being afraid to get paint over her and her clothes. And now there's that east wall with the green gate big enough to drive vehicles through after they got it primed. And the mountain that I've never climbed, but I believe, Greg, you climbed that mountain, did you? That was a nod yes. There are several murals in the city. This one here, Stephen, tell me about it.
This is a very long mural. You just got to see a small glimpse of it right here, and we got another picture of it closer up. It's a mosaic. You might be able to see the individual little tiles that make up the image. but this is a wall that goes all the way around the grounds of the university. It's actually the largest mosaic in South America. And very long and incorporates different parts, tells a lot of their history, goes through the various different tribes and such that rose in power and fell, and as well as a lot of the modern political stuff and such that's going on. And it was incredibly impressive. Yes?
Does that fence keep people from getting close to it?
No. The fence is actually between the street and the sidewalk.
What?
Yeah, so you people get right next to it. The sidewalk's right next to it. So one of the nice things about mosaics is that they hold their color and they're very hardy, so that's why they're very popular to use as exterior art.
All right, Stephen, you're still up. Right here, before you do, that day I was getting kind of tired and hurting a little bit, and so I gave Stephen my camera, and he and the group from Greenville went to the Mochi archaeological digs. And go ahead, Stephen.
We just went to the Mochi digs. Mochi is a
pre-Inca, right?
Pre-Inca, very much pre-Inca. The Incas came into power around the 1400s. The Mochis were in power from around 580 to about 880. We were up inside of one of their two palaces they had. This is a ziggurat. I don't know how many of y'all have done art history. A ziggurat is kind of similar to a pyramid. Whenever you see it from the outside, it has more steps going up. One of the unique things about them is that as you see them cascading to a point on the top, from the outside, they're doing the same thing on the inside, where they start out with a small room on the first level, and then they'll fill in wall and make it really thick, and then the next level up will actually be bigger. So you see that here. The most interesting thing about this is these digs have not been touched up at all. That's the original paint from
centuries.
700 to 800 AD.
Continue quickly.
Here you have kind of like the main room. It's probably about 6 stories tall, with artwork going all the way up. And we have myself and the second press team.
What's in the upper right-hand corner?
The upper right-hand corner, you see this big gaping hole in the wall. That's where grave robbers had come and just busted straight through all these walls in order to get treasure.
Okay.
I have to actually go teach Sunday school at my home church, so thank you all very much. I wanted to say thank you so much to Colleyville Press. I don't know how much y'all are aware, but your missions department covered 90%, not 95% of me going, and I'm extremely appreciative. It was an incredible trip. Try to do a lot of work that I think will continue on, and there's all the things that you can't measure that are going on. I don't know how much you know from talking with my father, but I am the kids pastor up at my church, and I was able to interact with the children there. And my favorite thing, though I really enjoyed doing the ministry for the Peru mission, but we got to connect in with the second press team, and they have quite a few teenagers there. And so I was able to minister and talk to them and do a little bit of discipleship with them as we were doing our Bible studies and such. And so it was a absolutely blessed trip, and I'm very thankful. So I appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate it. See you at lunch?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, Hal, I think I messed it up.
Yeah, I
Well, I tried to back it up, and I'm turning it off. All right. The next parts of the presentation are videos, and part of it is the first part starts out with Pastor Robert Spears, the associate pastor from Second Pres in Greenville, South Carolina, that I work with every time I've been down there. He's preaching in English, and then Pastor Ricardo, pastor of Revelo, is translating for the Peruvians. And then in the next one, it's just a part of the worship service. I think we see part of the confession. And then they have worship service fairly similar way we do it, except they sing the Psalms a whole lot. And I got a brief example of that. And then after we have worship service on Sunday, then we'll gather at one of the American missionaries' homes for fellowship lunch and hymn sing and prayer. And so those are the next ones coming up. For the jumpiness. Not able to see very much, but in that last part of the video, saw Elizabeth Johnson, now Elizabeth Johnson Madrid. They got married, Elizabeth and Willie got married this past January, and Elizabeth had been met her back in 2001 on the first trip we had down there, and she'd been down there pretty much ever since. She went back home to Greenville. She got her nursing degree, and now she's a pediatric nurse in the clinics down there. And she ended up. Now I don't know what Willie's heritage is. His last name is Madrid. I never got in a discussion with him about that. Did you, Greg?
Oh,
okay. Okay, and so they're native Peruvians?
Yes.
Okay. But anyway, people from Colleyville Presbyterian have helped maintain Elizabeth's support down there because, like any other missionaries, you know, they receive support from churches in the United States. And there is a need. They're having a shortfall with Aline McLean's support. And if anybody wants to help support the Peru mission, let me know. I'll get the particulars on how that is an easy way to doing that. But anyway, Elizabeth has been a precious, hardworking sister. Last year at Cajamarca, she was handling 80-pound, unloading 80-pound bags of concrete off of a truck and carrying them into the storeroom. I think she'd hurt herself. But
when you recognize that because of your sin, you are condemned. When you recognize your need for Christ, and when you, in this need, receive Christ as your Lord and Savior.
That young man on the right is a special brother to me. Probably some of you are familiar with the Jim Elliott story, who was a young missionary, and he felt called to evangelize. He and three or four of his friends, including Nate Saint and some others, the Aka Indians, which were a headhunting tribe down in Ecuador, and after several initial ways of dropping gifts from a small airplane, they went in and landed on the shore of a river down there, and hoping that leaving the gifts in previous trips, that they would be greeted more friendly, but they massacred all of them. And Jim's wife, Elizabeth, they were just newlyweds when this happened. She continued along with other children of the other missionaries, and they did go by and evangelize and participate in the baptism of the ones that killed their fathers and husband. But anyway, Jim had an older brother by the name of Bert. And Bert has been decades-long involvement in evangelizing in Trujillo. And that young man, Caleb Sutton, that was his name, I met him in probably 2002 or 2003, where he was a journalism student and also one of the editors in some Christian magazine down in the southeast U.S. And he had an appointment to go interview Bert Elliott, Jim Elliott's brother, who lived there in Trujillo. And I said, "Can I be your photographer?" So we took a taxi the next day, and I got to participate in an interview with Bert and his wife, Colleen. They never had any children. His life was totally devoted to evangelizing there in the Trujillo area. And it was just icing on the cake for my being blessed of being involved down there. And I really want to, Second Pres, they say they're not going down next year until late July, early August. I am so powerfully blessed, and I'd like to share that with some of y'all. Second Pres usually has a bunch of people. They just had 10 people this year. Last year they had 18. And I wonder why we can't have a little bit better representation. So I want to give a real strong, a friendly invitation for others to consider joining us in late July or August of next year. Let's see what else I got. Anything? Oh, all right. After I finished what we could get done there in Trujillo, we took a bus trip up in the mountains up to Cajamarca. There's a bus station. There's on the way up. Going up, you don't go very far before you're into the mountains. There we are in the kitchen dining area of Steve and Diane Hill, who are some of the main American missionaries that are working there in the Cajamarca area. The other one that I met several years ago in Trujillo is Alonzo Ramirez. He and his wife Esther lived out on the first and second floors of this home, and Steve and Diane Hill live up on the third floor, and we lodged there this year. From one of the hills, the Cajamarca is kind of like in a little bit of a valley between the mountains there, and their elevation is 9,000 feet, and the church we're working at is up 10,000 feet, 1,000 feet up in the mountains. But you can, so that just some shots of Trujillo. When the Spanish came in and conquered, they brought in Catholicism, and that's the plaque on the front of this chapel on the side hill to the Virgin. You see a big white cross in the back of it, and very ornate architecture. Looking up the side hill toward that chapel, I counted 20 landings on that stairwell, already a convex arrangement there. That's just a typical street in Peru there, in Cajamarca. You see a little vending cart there. They sell all kinds of goods out there on the street. That's a little bit of the backyard garden that they have there at their home. A lot of people from Peru, there's been a number of different families involved where I meet different members of the family at different years. The Comptons, there's Jimmy. I met him, well, to back up. 2 years ago at Trujillo, and he was there with a son and a daughter. And last year he wasn't there, but his wife went with a son and a daughter. And anyway, we had three father-son combinations, so we just got a picture taken of the three of us. So that's Jimmy and his son William, myself and Stephen, and then Noah and his dad, Joseph Merrillett, first-timers down there. But it was good to be a part of that. There is a church up there at San Jose, at 10,000 feet up in the mountains, that last year all it was a foundation and a slab. And that's how much I got accomplished. A week before we got down there, they started their first church services. So it was really good, encouraging to me to see the progress that had been made. They have a standing seam steel roof. It's not very much different than what we have here on the sanctuary, which is a good long-lasting one. There's a view looking from the tower of the church building down into the town of Cajamarca. Back that up, and you can see the runway from the airport there at the bottom of the picture. Manual labor. To build that, they carry the bricks and the mortar and all that. In the concrete or the mortar on 4 and 5 gallon buckets on the shoulder, walking up the catwalk type structure. And that was Alonzo Ramirez, who's been one of the ones that got the inspiration of ministering to the small communities up there in the mountains above Cajamarca, because they wouldn't, come into town. There's a mud and straw building that is used as the bathroom. There's the inside where they have the cross right into the concrete wall. And that's Pastor Juan Padilla, who is pastoring that church. There he's demonstrating how he's trusting that chair to hold him, like as we should trust the Lord to hold us. On Sunday, Steve preached at a little town up in the mountains called San Juan, and where they have just a little house church. There he is. Not very, he's got out of focus, but, and they just have a small gathering, but they had more people that Sunday than they'd ever had before. There wasn't enough church for everybody, so the kids sat on the floor, and Stephen, worked with the kids. He joined them on the floor. There's a man that owns a house that whose living room we used for church service. Just a little bit more. There's Steve and his wife, Diane. We stopped on the way back, looking back into the valley. There's a wheat field and a flax field side by side with my son, Stephen. We got some really pretty mountains. There's our last meal down there. And you can see there's a little message board back there behind Alonzo. And the second president from Greenville wrote a thank you note to him. And I hitchhiked on that and added my little addendum on the lower right corner. Then we all got in the plane and took off and come back home.